Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. In the Northwest London Christian Church, we're preaching and teaching through the book of Hebrews. Those lessons can't cover every detail, of course, so these podcasts are giving a bit more information. And today we're finishing off chapter 6 by reading verses 16 to 20. It reads, "Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that, by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Well, Melchizedek comes up again here, and we will look more at him in chapter 7. But for the moment, God is again confirming, or the writer rather, to the Hebrews is saying, since you know God and you know his nature and that he keeps his promises, we must hold on to the end. He's referring back to Abraham, and the issue of God's oaths is dealt with in the previous podcast more, so we won't focus on that again so much today. But Abraham was given promises, he held on to them, and they came true. God came through. God cannot lie, Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Of course he acts, of course he fulfills, and we see that in Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate fulfillment of all God's promises. It's clear the writer feels that that the promises to Abraham are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and that we are those who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us. We've done that in Jesus, and we're therefore the ultimate heirs of what was promised to the father of the faith, Abraham. So we are now living with the fulfillment of those promises. And what are we inheriting? Well, for one thing, we are entering the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus has gone before us. And so we're now able to go where he's blazed the trail for us. We're following him. The inner sanctuary of the tabernacle and later on the temple represented the presence of God with his people on earth. Exodus 26, 1 Kings 8. So Hebrews is using this language to refer to that heavenly sanctuary where God is enthroned in all his glory. And we can approach him there with confidence right now because Jesus, our heavenly high priest, has offered that perfect sacrifice. He is sitting at God's right hand, having completed his purposes. That's what we have, conveying the idea that our destiny is to live forever in God's holy and glorious presence. We can literally go where Jesus has gone. We have this promise of the ultimate relationship with God that it starts now and continues in eternity. Jesus is our prodromos, the one who has gone on in advance of others, our forerunner. He has not just run ahead of us, but he has gone there to show us the way. He's the pioneer going ahead of us for our benefit, a bit like an army scout. And because of that, we have an anchor for the soul. Now, you probably know this hymn, but let me read a little bit. It's a lovely hymn. And it also should be said that by the end of the second century, the anchor was a common Christian symbol. We're familiar with the idea of the fish indicating Christianity, but it was often found, this anchor symbol, on a ring, on epitaphs, and it symbolized a lot about our relationship with God. The hymn says, "Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain?" We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. And we'll go on to the last verse. "It will surely hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill our latest breath. On the rising tide it can never fail, while our hopes abide within the veil." The writer of that hymn was clearly thinking of this passage. We have an anchor. Let's hold on to that anchor today. Let's be grateful that we have that anchor for our soul. Next time, we'll go on to chapter 7. Until then, if you'd like to know more about our church work, we're at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org. And in iTunes, you can find us there. Type in MCCX into the search bar, look in podcasts, and you will find us. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.